Would you all pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our life-giving source. Amen. So this morning, I have a sermon for you entitled Shadow Boxing. And Faith, if you would put the picture up now, that'd be great. So standing at over 19 and a half feet high in the inner city of Johannesburg, South Africa, is a painted steel structure that we see here, known simply as shadow boxing. This structure was inspired by the famous photographer who took a picture of Nelson Mandela, who is in the picture here. He is the shadow boxer. He's shown here in this steel structure as a young amateur boxer. Now, as you can see, the structure, it displays Nelson Mandela's immaculate boxing posture and his confidence. It's actually placed across the road from his old law office, where he and his partner Oliver Tambo had their practice. And at the time, they were the only African law firm in South Africa. Mandela recalls from the book Long Walk to Freedom, he says, "We were not the only African lawyers in South Africa, but we were the only firm of African lawyers. For Africans, we were the firm of first choice and last resort. To reach our offices each morning, we had to move through a crowd of people in the corridors, on stairs, and in our small waiting room." Mandela, one of the greatest leaders in the 21st century, period, is dubbed as the father of the nation because he dedicated his life to the struggle against racial oppression in South Africa. When the structure was erected in Johannesburg, the mayor at the time is quoted as saying, "The sport of boxing provides a way of thinking about apartheid legal system of the time." Mandela, boxing is a symbolic nature of the fight for dignity and human rights, which continues in our day. Going back to the inequalities and distortions of the apartheid period, the champions of the struggle were effectively boxing outside the ring or competing in a ring that was biased in its nature. That's just like Jesus. Jesus fought against a society, against a culture that was so different than what he stood for. And there were biases back in Jesus's time, just as there were in Nelson Mandela's time, and just as there are in our times. And there are many dark places. Dark places in Jesus's world, and in Nelson Mandela's world, and in our world today. But without darkness, there is no light. Because if there was no light and no darkness, it would all just be the same. The shadows are created because of the light and the darkness. And there's many shadows. For some people, it's more comfortable to stay in the dark shadows because it's the way it's always been. Whether it be war or pain or suffering. So it's always been that way throughout our time and throughout times before us. So it always will be those dark shadows. And yet, in order for there to be darkness, there must be light. Darkness and light coexist. You can't have one without the other. It's just fact. And too often, we fall into believing that all darkness is bad. Yet, our God is a God of both darkness and of light. Hear these words from Psalm 139, and recall that the you referenced here is referring to God. "If I said, the darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night around me, Even then, the darkness isn't too dark for you. Nighttime would shine bright as day because darkness is the same as light to you. You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. If Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness, as we heard in our scripture, what hope does that bring to our world? Does it give us hope that darkness is not always bad? That there must also be light somewhere in there, even if we do feel the darkness? Does it give us hope that God has experienced all that we experience, having come in the form of Jesus? God experienced the light moments, the joy, the laughter, the exuberation. I don't know if that's the right word. Or exuberant? Something. The melancholy. God experienced the melancholy, the sorrow, and the pain. God knows us completely because God came in human form. And God made our inner parts. And does it give us hope that there is promise of a new day, a better time, a better way? Mandela, he trained as this amateur boxer in the 1950s, but he didn't actually engage in any competitive fighting. He found no pleasure in that at all, the brute force and the violence of it. But he did enjoy the sports science and tactics of it. Mandela stated in his autobiography that, "I did not enjoy the violence of boxing so much as the science of it. I was intrigued by how one moved one's body to protect itself, how one used strategy to both attack and defend, how one paced oneself over the match. Boxing," he said, "is egalitarian. In the ring, rank, age, color, and wealth are irrelevant. When you are circling your opponent, probing his strengths and weaknesses, you're not thinking about his color or social status," said Nelson Mandela. Mandela was a man of peace. He was a man of hope. He spent 27 years, as you might know, in jail for political reasons. And during that time, while he was in jail, his mother died, and his son died in a car crash. He was in an 8-by-7-foot jail cell, and he was only allowed outside into the lights when he had to go do quarrying for limestone. Hard, hard labor. Darkness could have easily surrounded Nelson Mandela, and yet he never gave up hope. In his letter to his wife, Winnie, he wrote, "Remember that hope is a powerful weapon, even when all else is lost. Hope is a powerful weapon, even when all else is lost." It is in Jesus that we can place our hope. In the Gospel of John, it tells us why that gospel was written in chapter 20. It says it was written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that in believing in him, you may have life. And it's not just about life after we pass away. It's about life here today. We don't walk alone among the shadows here on earth. We walk because of God. Because of Emmanuel, God with us. We hear today that from our scriptures, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word, meaning Jesus. Jesus was there in the beginning. In the beginning. Do those words kind of bring to mind another scripture passage, maybe? Maybe the first three words of the Bible? Genesis 1, in the beginning. Yes, yes. These words are intentional in the Gospel of John. They're there to remind us and teach us that Jesus is God and is with us. And God has always been present and always will be. God came to dwell among us and in us. And it is, as the theologian Caroline Lewis writes, the dwelling of God is a deeply intimate, personal claim and assumes God's commitment to and continuity with God's people. There we go. Moreover, in the Word made flesh and dwelling among us, now God not only goes where God's people go, but is who they are. God not only goes where God's people go, but is who they are. Jesus is the one way we can see hope, because Jesus teaches us the way of peace. Friends, what shadows do you need to step out of in order to see hope and peace? What shadows are lingering over you? What darkness that you need to step out of to move into hope and peace? Our scripture shares that Jesus is the light, the true one. Jesus is the primary light. All other lights are secondary and shine only because they reflect Jesus' light. How can we reflect that Christ light of hope and peace on this second week of Advent? We can do so by choosing hope, by being like Nelson Mandela, by recognizing that hope also works in the face of extreme conditions. We can be like Jesus by choosing inward peace, peace within ourselves. We have to obtain that first before we can authentically share that peace to the world. And lastly, we can do so when we are like John and reflect that light, the hope, the peace of Christ. We can be Christmas witnesses. We can be the vessel through which others see hope. The African philosophy of Mbuntu, which means I am because we are, thank you. Yes, our theme for this year, Ubuntu, it recognizes that life isn't always easy. There will always be shadows. It tells us that even when we are suffering in darkness, the times really are tough, that we are still human and still deserving of light. You, my friends, are deserving of light. You are deserving of hope. You, my friends, are deserving of peace. May it be so. Amen.